The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you are watching the podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We go live on YouTube after every single primetime game, after every single Sunday night game, which is also primetime, but we recap the entire Sunday. And if something crazy happens in the NFL, we go live too. So you should go to youtube.com/pick6, hit subscribe, and then turn on alerts. You'll know when we go live. And if you are currently subscribed, it's Monday, September 26th for a few more minutes. If you're listening to the podcast in audio form, we still love you, of course. In fact, we love everybody. Maybe Tuesday, September 27th, and the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants are both 2-1. Joining me to break down Monday Night Football, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Shout out to Clarence Yee in the comments. He picked 1150 as the over-under. Brinson smashed the under. Take that, boys.
Shout out to Cooper Rush, the best quarterback ever from the Mid-American Conference. Even better than Ben Roethlisberger.
And
that's right, Wilson. I see that.
I don't want this transitive property. Cooper Rush beat the Giants and he beat the Bengals. Maybe he's just really good stuff. Okay.
By the way, joke's on Breach because Charlie Batch is better than Ben Roethlisberger, so it doesn't matter.
Shout out to good question. Damien Gilmore asks, is this Billy's first solo? I don't know. Debo may be lurking.
I haven't seen Debo yet.
He is not lurking.
Is he lurking?
No,
he's not.
Okay. Billy, don't drop the ball tonight, man.
Billy's fine.
A lot of pressure.
I'll bet you any amount of money Debo is watching on YouTube.
I bet he's not.
I bet he is.
Debo is in bed.
Yeah, why would Debo, who does not want to be here when he has to be here, do this for free?
But it's because Debo doesn't trust one person, and it's not Billy.
And it's not me, and it's not Breach.
You narrow it down. Look, Billy's got this thing under control. We love Billy.
He's got it unlocked.
It's going to be fun.
He's got the graphics up. He's talking in the comments section. Billy is...
It's just a massive upgrade.
Multitasking.
By the way, if you're this podcast in like 9 months, okay?
If you're listening on the old audio machine, go to the YouTube page and you can see some of the shorts that Billy's ripped, so how the kids say it, of us three talking on Sunday night. And they're mostly making fun of Brinson. So, again, more reasons to check out.
Look, Billy... Okay, I don't know, were you guys in that Slack chat when he was like, hey, do you mind if I post this picture of you holding 42 beers in the pool? Yeah.
I love that he was so easy for him to find it on the internet. Brinson beers.
I look kind of good in that picture, honestly.
Yeah. I mean,
sunglasses, 12 beers.
Hair was on point.
The bangs were drooping down a little bit. I was going to ask.
Can I say that probably every 2 or 3 days, I just catch myself laughing because Stu in the comments said last week that you had Nana's hair. That was one of the best comments in Pick Six podcast history.
Ooh, Let's see.
Just dunk it on Nana.
Yeah, see? All right. Hey, Billy, we're going to test your comment prowess. K-Tide12 points out in the comments, this is what happens when you switch in an Eagles fan for a Vikings fan like Debo. Immediate upgrade. We get this Vikings fan Debo out of here. This Colts, Washington football team, Carson Wentz, Vikings fan Debo, he gone.
What? How did that come about again? That Debo suddenly a Vikings fan?
The all things covered.
Oh, okay. That actually just as obvious as I should have
imagined. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like the idea that I like the idea that Debo has to leave the podcast thinking that I'm an Eagles fan, which I am.
Let me give you guys a fun fact, and we can jump off this conversation about this Monday night game. Daniel Jones was pressured 26 times, the most in his career. And this is a career, by the way, where that man's been running for his life.
That's the most in his career. I mean, nothing.
26? How many snaps do they have? Sorry for yelling. They had 67 snaps. So I don't know the math on that. It's less than 1 in 3. He was running for his life.
Wait, how many pressures?
26 times he was pressured.
He attempted 37 passes.
Once every 2.5 snaps, that man got hit, was flushed on the pocket, got sacked.
He
played well, I should say. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about the football game. His numbers are terrible. The team lost. Every time he threw the ball, except for like two or three times, you thought, oh my God, this could be an interception. But to your point, Ryan, I don't entirely blame him because the Cowboys were just getting after him. It felt like he had very little time and he was throwing off weird platforms. And every time the ball left his hand, it felt like it was going to be a pick.
DeMarcus Lawrence, 3 sacks tonight, 3 sacks in all of 2020.
Evan Neal, probably not going to win offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, boy. I like Icky better than Evan. It doesn't matter. Both those Icky and Evan are both going to be fine. But, you know, Pete was like, Icky's going to have to play guard. Evan Neal is exactly who you want. But I think the lesson is that rookie seasons, freshman years, whatever, they're hard for just about everybody.
Andrew Thomas didn't have a great rookie year.
He's much better now.
He's morphed into a very good player. Like it is Daniel Jones now 0-9 in primetime with 13 touchdowns, 16 turnovers, and 29 sacks.
Breach, why don't you make
the case? Andy Dalton say it?
Why don't you make the case? Because the first thing that comes to mind when DJ plays isn't that he's Andy Dalton in primetime, is that he has nothing around him. And by the way, it feels like the script has sort of flipped on Daniel Jones under Brian Daboll in that he is no longer the primary problem on this team. They were 2-0 coming into the game, so they were doing pretty well. But he doesn't feel like Andy Dalton to me. Breach, you want to make a strong throated defense for why he is Andy Dalton in primetime?
I mean, I felt like maybe the first 7 or 8 games he was Andy Dalton. This was a guy who was just turning it over all the time. Breach,
before you look, you can't just try to replace Andy Dalton with people to try and make people forget that Andy Dalton didn't win in primetime. Okay,
let him make his case.
What are you saying? I'm saying that
trying to do this to Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones. You make a big deal out of it to try and make Andy Dalton look better.
That makes him look worse. I'm saying they're the next Andy Dalton. The guy who's 0-9 is the next Andy Dalton of primetime, Brinson. How is that in any way a compliment to Andy Dalton?
It's
comparing
not
him to a guy who was 0-9 in primetime. This is literally the opposite of
Go on, do your little breach bot thing.
Anyway, no.
Yoda bot. What
Jones,
are you doing?
Daniel Jones has had some bad primetime games, but this absolutely wasn't one of them. It's not his fault that his offensive line just got overwhelmed and overpowered and destroyed. It's not his fault that Kenny Galladay can't catch and that Sterling Shepard's letting balls fall out of his hands. It's not his fault that the refs throw weird OPI flags on huge gains. I mean, except for, and the interception wasn't even his fault because his receiver slipped. So, like, I thought this was one of the better full games I've seen Daniel Jones play.
And while Brinson gets finished laughing, and I will mention that Saquon Barkley had his best game in 2 years as well.
I was going to ask a Saquon question. I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I mean,
what's wrong with you?
You think that was one of the better full games you've seen Daniel Jones play?
I agree.
I've only seen like 10 games from him. That was the top 10.
Listen, when he remember his
is that an indictment of the Giants offensive line or Daniel Jones?
That's an indictment of Joe Judge prior to Brian Daboll taking over. And don't forget, like when Daniel Jones that first started, he got his rookie season against Tennessee, whoever
Tampa, lit. He beat the Bucs. We had that crazy run down the middle.
He lit them up, and everyone's like, see, told you Daniel Jones is going to work out, and then things cratered from there. I don't think Breach is far off at all. He hasn't had a lot of memorable games.
I mean, counterpoint, he completed 81% of his passes 2 weeks ago and threw two touchdowns and one interception.
Well, and he had some huge games with Pat Shurmur in 2019, but like all of that was out the window once Joe Judge got hired. So really it's just he just kind of fell off the radar.
I know what you're saying here in that.
Like he was more protective of the ball. He was taking hits all night. There was a couple times where I'm like, oh my God, he's going to fumble. He's going to fumble. And he didn't fumble.
Right.
Because it seems like he finally has turned the corner there.
Okay. Okay. I don't.
One turnover on his last throw.
Okay. I don't know that the, what you're saying necessarily aligns correctly. I do agree with you that he was not the problem tonight.
He didn't play poorly tonight. I don't understand what angle you're coming at here.
I guess I'm just surprised that somebody went 20 of 37 for 196 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick.
He got flushed out of the pocket. He was under pressure 26 times.
Again, I'm not blaming him for the issues.
I thought he played, in terms of poise, in terms of lack of turnovers, I thought he played an anti-Andy Dalton game, despite the way the game ended for him.
Okay. All right, so what would be your grade for how Daniel Jones played tonight?
B+.
Yeah, B+.
Okay. All right.
What are you going to give an F?
I mean,
it was just weird to hear Breach be like, that's one of the best games I've ever seen.
I was thinking the exact same thing while you were fixing your hair plugs.
It's just considering the circumstances. Not like he's had better games. He's thrown 5 touchdowns in one game.
Breach, by the way,
he's had plenty of better games. This is just considering the circumstances.
This is like a top 15 Daniel Jones game.
No, yeah. But here's the thing. Breach, what are we talking about coming into the season about Daniel Jones specifically?
Got to cut down the turnovers.
Play or what?
Or you're done.
Exactly. This is the reckoning for Daniel Jones with Brian Daboll there. If he doesn't see improvement, doesn't mesh, whatever, that's a wrap on the Daniel Jones era. And I think he's acquitted himself well, as some old person somewhere probably would say.
Okay. All right. Just to make it clear, I am not saying that anything that happened tonight was Daniel Jones' fault.
That's all I'm hearing.
Sounds like you're blaming him.
He was under pressure like crazy. I just think Breach is maybe... I don't know what's going on with you, Breach. You've thrown.
I agree with Breach. It's not even that outrageous. Yeah, what's
agreeing with me? You're the odd man out.
Why are you hating on Daniel? It's not even close to one of the best games he's played. It's maybe
so. People, if you're listening, just send Brinson a tweet and let him know. But if you're in the comments right now on YouTube,
my God,
how does this game rate for you, Daniel Jones wise? Scott Murphy mentions that this was rock solid, Daniel Dimesers. Daniel Dimesers is a fantastic. Yeah,
okay, you know what? We're getting mixed up in the semantics here. Daniel Jones played well, given the circumstances with which he had to deal with, which was constant pressure from the Dallas defense.
Like this is the way Aaron Rodgers would play in a game where he was playing behind this Giants offensive line.
Okay, that's a bridge too far for me. But
did you see how many people were dropping passes? Sterling Shepard, hopefully he didn't tear his ACL, but it doesn't look good for him. He had a huge drop. Late in the game, David Sills fell down on the interception. It wouldn't matter at that point; the game was over. But Daniel Jones was dealing; he was dimesering it up.
I thought that's an interesting one. Daniel Jones had a better game than Tua yesterday.
The other part of this, like I watched the Cowboys defense play last week, and they bottled up Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow has better weapons than Daniel Jones.
Defense is really good. Dan Quinn.
Daniel Jones played well because he did well against a good defense.
Okay, I'm not trying to argue that Daniel Jones
take the L.
Fine, I'll take the L. I don't care. Let's move on.
I can't believe this.
All right, let's move on. Talking about something that's
you're the Mike McCarthy this podcast.
We start talking about the NFC East teams. It's not the Eagles, and Brinson has lost his mind.
I know. So great job, Daniel Jones, for everyone.
It is something was factually incorrect, and I didn't like it.
Would you agree that Saquon had a big day? Big day.
Okay, sorry, Saquon. Let's talk about Saquon really quickly, and then we'll move to the team that won. Why do we do this every time?
I just talked about Daniel Jones, and you got crazy.
Saquon Barkley looks like he's back.
Yeah, had a great game.
What do you do if you're the Giants?
You worry about after the season. You have nothing to worry about now. Yeah, you wait 4 months, and then you deal with it.
Okay. All right. Let's say he plays the entire season healthy.
What's the franchise tag for running back going to be? $8 million, $12 million, $15 million.
Hold out. All right. Yeah, you just tag him and move on.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy solution.
But the problem there is ownership is very invested in Saquon Barkley.
Wait a second. They're also invested in winning football games, and they have.
Are they?
Yeah, they hired Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who I think are huge upgrades over the previous regime.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Why are you?
I agree with that completely. But okay. they gave Dave Gettleman an unlimited run. I don't. I think it's more
Where
about
is he now. Being,
he retired. He didn't get fired.
I mean, call it what you want. You're going to retire for this podcast. Ultimately, we all will know what happens in due time. You ain't fooling anybody.
You know, it's been a great run. Actually, that's what happened with Debo. Debo got the Dave Gettleman treatment. Everybody thinks he got promoted. Nope, he got fired.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
By the way, shout out to my buddy Link Calhoun, who correctly points out that I have the loosest possible soundboard fingers on the planet.
Just kidding. Oh yeah, no doubt about that.
Okay,
so what do you want to talk about then?
Okay, let's. All right, well. If you all right, let's play the game again. You got to bet your life on a 2-1 team to make the playoffs. You betting your life on the Cowboys or the Giants?
Well, the Cowboys, because they're getting Dak back, and that they're getting Michael Gallup back.
Dak is an upgrade, right?
Please, I mean,
ask Jerry Jones. He's rooting for a QB controversy.
Yeah. Okay, Dak said he could come back next week. That feels like a big mistake to me.
I think he was just saying that just to give them something to talk about pregame.
That was like his version of the Russell Wilson invisible like. Warm-up routine.
I 100% agree with that, because if anything, I think when most people looked at, hey, if Cooper Rush is going to play these next two games,
God,
people probably thought 1-1, 0-2. Nobody was thinking 2-0. And so I feel like what the Cooper Rush wins here, they let Dak sit and heal. And there's no reason to rush him back at this point, because you can afford.
You're saying there's no reason to rush?
Right. Pun intended, maybe, but yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I don't think they need to rush him back for the Commanders game. If, you know, like you guys said he might be available. Like, you don't need that. You don't want to have what happened with Russell Wilson last year, where his hand just didn't look the same all year because he came back so quickly.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know. And Brinson, perhaps you should pose this to Brady Quinn on the next Brady Quinn podcast. It feels like to me, like Russ's middle finger, whichever finger he broke, is a bigger concern than the thumb in terms of throwing the football.
Mm-mm. That's a key finger.
With the that's how you get your torque and your rotation.
You do realize I was a Division I baseball player, right? Just saying.
Well, that's not how you get your torque and rotation on a baseball. It's how you do it on a football.
I don't know if you noticed, a
baseball is smaller. It can fit in your hand.
So I have a really small
spin it with your other fingers.
And really small hands, and I throw a baseball like a football.
Well, that's probably why you are on this podcast and not playing baseball.
Yeah, that in minute.
That and your lack of athletic skill.
Yeah, that was
anyway,
that
good graphic here from our excellent stats department. Cowboys versus the Giants since 2017. 10-1? It's like Jason Garrett's MO is just beating up the freaking Giants.
I would, to follow up what you guys were talking about in terms of Rush versus Dak, I would sit him for the Wentz game. I would sit him for the Rams game and then bring him back for the Philly game, week 6 on the road, Philadelphia. Sunday night.
Yes.
So that'll be huge.
Well, the problem is, I mean, my concern for the Cowboys is that they have traditionally, like, they didn't put Dak on IR, which to me is a pretty foolish maneuver, because you can.
Well, you get
a roster spot.
Yeah, but the defense has been fine, and you're not going to find a wide receiver that can help you by putting Dak on IR for 4 weeks.
But Brinson's saying that if he doesn't play by the Rams game, then you essentially did waste that roster spot for 4 weeks.
Bill Belichick do is my usual go-to for there. And Bill Belichick would put the quarterback on IR.
Well, we're going to find out in like 24 hours, because they're going to do something with Mac Jones.
Yeah, but they're 2-1. They're going to be 3-1, most likely.
Three NFC East teams are currently in the playoffs, by the way.
Yeah, but if they're 3-1 after the Washington game, then that was a gamble worth taking. If Dak isn't ready to go by the Rams game, or if they want to be cautious about playing him in that Rams game.
That feels results-based, but okay.
It's a gamble. It's for someone who's a sharp.
It's not a gamble. They did this with Romo with Dak in 2016. He's like, had a broken vertebrae, and they're like, well, we don't want to put him on IR. He might
come weird-ass takes tonight. He must be high.
They should have put Dak on IR and said, Cooper Rush is our guy, and we're going with him for the duration of Dak's IR stint. We want him to be healthy when he comes back. We just gave him a huge contract.
What is their record with Cooper Rush, by the way?
3-0 all time. 2-0 this year, 1-0 last year.
Oh, okay. So,
oh,
yeah. They definitely should have put Dak. that you're dunking on yourself, dum-dum. They don't need to put Dak on IR. They're winning football games with Cooper Rush.
Well, I think they didn't put him on IR, though, because if he had lost to the Bengals and lost to the Giants and they were 0-3 right now,
calculator risk,
there might have been some rush to get Dak back as soon as possible. So I feel like that is why they didn't.
Once again, Jerry Jones is outsmarted Will Brinson is what I'm hearing.
Outsmarted everyone.
Yes, Jerry the GM has once again figured it out.
And guess who's pumped to have the Cowboys in a Super Bowl draft? You. Thank you. Look,
Dallas is interesting, though, because they will be getting Michael Gallup back at some point. I think CeeDee Lamb is a true number one. I was in an argument in chat with some dudes about CeeDee Lamb, and he had that awful drop.
He has a history of not great drops. I don't know if there are good drops, but
why do people think that?
Why do people think he drops the ball? Is that a question you just asked?
Well, I mean, if you had to guess last year, where did he rank?
I have no idea. I just felt like he dropped the ball more than every other number one that I watched.
He was 11th in terms of catch percentage for anyone who had 120 targets or more last year.
Where was Deontay Johnson? And that'll be my barometer for how many drops he has.
Let's see if I start. Oh, I got it up.
I think Deontay Johnson was probably above that, and that's concerning if you're CeeDee Lamb. And I love CeeDee Lamb. He was my wide receiver one coming out of Oklahoma.
Deontay was 14th.
So right around that range.
You know who was below CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb looked back.
Justin Jefferson.
He looked back at Cooper Rush with a face that he was shocked that Cooper put it in his hands because it was a great throw.
I think he thought he was going to have to reach and
go.
And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, no. And it was like,
It was a weird reaction.
All right, I'm going to read the list of guys below CeeDee Lamb at 11.
Well, do the two above him and then go that way. And go down. Well,
number one.
Just go do 9 and 10 and then keep going south.
9 and 10 are Brandon Cooks and Jacoby Myers.
That's okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of this, too, you have to look at depth of target, too. Like some, catch it. Like Hunter Renfrow's number one, but his depth of target is.
Yeah. Pass Moo makes the point. Not all drops are equal. I agree.
Correct. Anyway, 9 Cooks, 10 Jacoby, 11 CeeDee Lamb, 12 Justin Jefferson, 13 Deebo Samuel, 14 Deontay, 15 Jamar Chase, 16 Stephon Diggs, 17 Marquise Brown, 18 Marvin Jones, 19 Terry McLaurin, 20 Mike Williams, 21 DK Metcalf.
Okay.
It was a bad drop. He has to catch that ball.
I feel like maybe anecdotally, it feels like his drops are in worse situations than other drops.
That's what Cowboys fans' point was. His drops are easy throws or easy catches in big situations.
And that's a weird thing with the drop stat is that there should be a rating of drops, the Richter scale of drops. Like this is a grade 5. This is a DEFCON 5 drop. This could have been a touchdown. This cost your team points. This was a drop on 3rd and 17 where Kirk Cousins threw it only 2 yards downfield and it didn't really mean anything in the larger scheme of things. Like drops should be, if you're going to tab drops, then they should be rated like that.
Yeah. That's where football does lack in terms of analytics. It was a bad drop. He should have caught it. He even said, I don't know if you saw this, Ryan. He said, my bad.
No, I get it. I love CD. I mean, look, it's incredibly difficult to play wide receiver in the NFL, especially catching passes from Cooper Rush.
And he's only played 7 games with Dak Prescott in his 3 years, by the way.
I'm kidding. I love Cooper Rush.
He's already played 2 games with Cooper.
Who do you play with his rookie year? Because Dak got hurt his rookie year.
Remember? Andy Dalton, probably.
Oh, God, even worse.
There's a path. That's funny.
Why is that for 17 years ago? I mean, COVID. I know why, but
pandemic.
Yeah. Breach did not like that joke. He went,
I've muted all the Andy Dalton words from.
So let me ask you guys about this, just more of an overall.
Before you ask the question, let's take a break and when we come back. Ryan will give us his incredible question next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Go ahead. Ready? You ready to have your minds blown? All right. So in previous years, even through about 3 weeks of the season, we've had some come to Jesus conversations about the officiating. So far this year, the officiating hasn't been terrible, but there's some straight up doo-doo calls in this game. I'll start with the non-DPI call in the end zone versus the Jets.
Unbelievable.
Noah Brown got Giants. Tackled. I guess the Giants. Noah Brown got tackled and thrown into the end zone, out of the end zone. It felt like no call there. That was weird. The other call at the end of the third quarter, Chris Myrick catches a 6-yard pass, throws the ball to the referee. It hits Donovan Wilson in the head. Donovan just slaps it down. And that's a 15-yard penalty on Donovan Jones for unsportsmanlike conduct or whatever the stupid thing they call is. I remember that call literally 15 years ago when Antoine Randall threw the ball to the official and a defensive player got in the way and they flagged Antoine Randall for unsportsmanlike conduct. And in the booth, they were saying, don't give the official a reason to throw a flag. How about the official not throw the flag because common sense should prevail? Those are two glaring, idiotic penalties that stood out to me. The other one, Kenny Golladay, finally makes a catch, a 21-yard catch. This is in the second quarter as well. And they call the offensive pass interference on Sterling Shepard for running a route in the middle of the field. He happens to run into Trevon Diggs, and they call that back. And that ended up leading to the Giants trying to go for it on 4th-and-2. They couldn't get it, and that's a whole nother conversation. But they would have been in field goal position and probably put points on the board. Instead, they go to the half. I think it was 6-6 at that point, or 6-3. But those are three glaring, stupid officials got in the way for no reason calls that had an effect on the game.
By the way, if you like Ryan's bright orange Syracuse shirt, smash the like button.
Oh my God, ranked, baby. They're ranked.
Is it a hoodie?
Oh, yeah.
If you like Breach being a team player wearing his CBS hoodie, smash the like button.
Hit the thumbs down button, which you can't hit, apparently.
All right, here's a question for the chat. Should I – I don't know what I'm asking. If – oh, man, do you know what, Wilson, we could do? If we win this podcast award, we'll know by the time that
– NC State's still out there?
It's coming up in – I think it's out – what's today? 27th.
Yeah,
it is. That's 3 days away. We find out if we won.
Can't wait. All right.
I love the YouTube commenters calling out Brinson for taking a commercial break.
I know. It's like, I don't want to do a commercial break. I have to do it for the audio version.
Like, oh my God.
I'll come up to Syracuse for the NC State Syracuse game and get the tattoo there if we win.
And okay. I'll go just to be a part of it.
You guys cannot stay with me, but you're welcome to come to Syracuse.
It's not the answer we were hoping for, but okay.
By the way,
it kind of was the answer I was hoping for.
Press box seats are fantastic. You're right on the 35-yard line about 60 rows up.
I'm not sitting in the press box. I'm getting hammered and watching the game in the carrier dome and just screaming.
What was the guy's name that drank the beer at the New Orleans Super Bowl, the Ravens 49ers Super Bowl?
Yeah,
that was awesome. During the week, he worked for CBS doing he anchored some segments.
For it was Kevin Cork.
Kevin Cork. I got Kevin Cork.
He had a beer. He showed up with
a beer.
He wasn't working, so he's done.
No, he wasn't working. He
showed up in the press box with like a giant like margarita.
The auxiliary press box. But yeah, he was enjoying the. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if you're watching, like the video. The number of people watching to the number of likes are disproportionate. All you have to do is press the like button. It's not hard. Throw us a bone. It helps us out. We were told if we get to, I was told that like Billy gets bonuses based on the number of likes we get. So smash the like button. And it actually comes out of my salary. Billy's is salary diverted from me to Billy if we get a bunch of likes. So, oh boy. All right, let's settle down now, people. We don't need to like it that quickly. Anywho. So,
any concerns about the officiating?
Yeah, I think that I do think that the officiating has been through 3 weeks the best it's been, I remember, in like the last 5 to 10 years in terms of overall like mostly non-egregious mistakes. And that could be an anecdotal thing where there's just not a bunch of stuff happening in the primetime games. You know, like, because if we get a bunch of bad stuff in the primetime games, it lingers. Right?
There have been no...
But, you know, the officiating felt like it evened out in this game. You know, you mentioned the pass interference in the end zone and then the bad call against the Giants on the offensive pass interference. And so as long as it doesn't go like that, if both calls have been against the same team and they had been that egregious, then, yeah, I think that's an issue. But like Brinson said, I feel like the officials have actually done a really good job. We haven't – there's been years where we literally spent like 30 minutes on a Sunday night recap podcast talking about officiating calls.
Remember the Monday night replacement officials
fail Mary.
I mean, we did 45 minutes talking about that, and it doesn't feel like
sorry, quickly, Scott Murphy in the comments says Nathaniel Hackett's coaching has been a human shield for the referees.
That's a good point. It does feel like, and I don't know if this is I don't know if this is intentional by the NFL. We are sort of on a new wave of younger referees right now and younger officials.
Yeah, and a lot of them are like old man hockey jacked. Like, those guys have been doing some push-ups. But it feels you have those waves where sometimes there's a gap, not only in the age difference, but in terms of how well the games are officiated. And this, they feel like they're fingers crossed, I don't want to jinx it, doing well enough. Now, you actually said on Twitter – I'm not sure which call you're talking about, Brinson, but the New York should have made the change. Were you talking about the pass interference call on Scott Shepard? Were you talking about
New York should have made the change? What do you mean?
There was some officiating call that you weren't happy about on the Monday night game.
Probably the one where the guy got like corralled in the end zone.
Oh, that one. Okay. All right.
It was the there's one where I said the NFL should jump in. It was
you don't even know, you tweet so much you don't even know what you're tweeting about.
I really don't tweet that much. But I mean, again, you ask me things that I don't
I ask you things that you said that you don't know that you said.
I mean, you're the okay. Anyway.
It's not like I was asking
what starts one as an underdog. Can you name the three quarterbacks?
What'd you say? What's the question?
Can you name the three quarterbacks who won their first three career starts all as an underdog?
I'm going to guess Cooper Rush. Somehow Kyle Allen is on that list. Yes. And then the odd man out.
Mahomes.
Yeah, the odd man out is Patrick Mahomes, which is crazy. Like, which one of these doesn't belong is not Kyle Allen.
Oh, I know which one I was talking about. It was the Sterling Shepard offensive pass interference call where he was like,
yeah,
taking off a defensive back and just like turned and tried to jump out of the way and got called for a pick. That one was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I mentioned earlier. You weren't paying attention.
You asked me which call I was talking about, and I just told you.
You just remembered. Okay.
No, I had to go and think about it. Yes. Yes. I mean, like, I agree with Breach's point, though. It evened out mostly in this game.
I'm laughing because at one point late in the telecast, there was a shot of this Giants fan who has a shaved head and painted himself to look like one of the guys in the Blue Man Group. And Chris Long just tweeted out the same exact thought that I had. And Chris Long said, I like to think about this guy calmly sitting in traffic on the ride home. Because at this point, the game was decided. He looks like Blue Man Group with a red stripe from his chin all the way to the back of his head. And then New York paint on the side of his head. I'm thinking, all right, well, like, where does he take the makeup off? Is it in the parking lot outside of MetLife? Does he just leave it on the bus ride home? Does he get on the train to back to wherever he's going and look like that? Or like what's going on there? But
there was a guy like, and this guy, same sort of thing. He not only painted his entire head blue, he painted a pretty spot on red stripe down the middle of his face. And then even did the Giants logo on the side to make it look like a Giants helmet. And you go there and just take the L. Like that has to be, you're just, this is
a middle-aged man. It's like Putty putting on the devil's paint before the game. You're like, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the picture there. Billy just put it up. And that guy has the look of, what have I done? I got to figure out the next 3 hours of my life without anyone seeing me. Like he would look idiotic if you put a hat on. Like there's nothing he can do. You have to go, I think, in the bathroom and just wash it off. But then you also look like, a deranged clown if you don't get all the makeup off. So there's a lot of ways this can go wrong. Very few ways can go right, I feel like.
But what about option three? What if he never takes it off? He just lives like that.
Maybe it's a tattoo, in which case, problem solved.
There's a guy, and I know that people don't care about NC State, but it's relevant here. There's a guy who came to the NC State UConn game on Saturday. UConn was a 38.5-point underdog in Raleigh. And this guy painted half of his face blue and half of his face white. And they're just getting, like, they're down 30-0 at halftime. They just keep cutting this guy. He's like, it's like, did you really think this was going to go well for you? Like, you couldn't just wear like a blue polo or a blue t-shirt right. and go to the game. You had to go half with the face paint.
I don't get the face painting thing after the age of like college. Okay, fine. I don't care. After the age of like 23, I'll give you a couple of years. If you're jerking around in college, it takes you a couple of years to graduate. After the age of 23, I don't know if you should be wearing face paint. Like, did any of the breaches wear face paint to the Super Bowl breach?
Well, I mean, like, when you see the face paint booth at the State Fair, there's not 35-year-olds lined up to get their face painted.
Typically, you know, no.
It's people under the age of 10. So.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, I would say there's should be an age limit. I don't know what it is.
And again, if you're listening to the podcast,
let's make the age limit 47.
You need to see the picture of this guy, because it's not just like, okay, your face is painted. Someone had to do it's really difficult to paint a thin red stripe down someone's scalp.
It's got a
forehead, their nose, their mouth, and then they're underneath their chin.
And this ain't a half-ass job. This is a high-gloss job. Like, this guy.
But I do feel like sometimes you have to give people a pass, because maybe that guy started painting his face in, like, 2007, and they won the Super Bowl. So he's like, oh, now I got to do this every week for the rest of the time. We don't know. Maybe we need to find out the story.
I just love that this guy has a great realization late in the fourth quarter that he has made a terrible, terrible mistake.
I hope he listens to the podcast. That's what I hope.
Okay.
Maybe it's Sean.
What I feel like we haven't really addressed anything about the game. It's, I mean, we have.
Yeah, we've talked about Daniel Jones. Yeah. Cooper Rush, we've said, I think he should start the next two games if Dak isn't ready.
I would keep playing Cooper Rush as long as humanly possible.
And by the way, they had similar stats, he and Daniel Jones, through about the third quarter that things started opening up. But they leaned on Zeke. They leaned on Tony Pollard, who had a great game. CeeDee Lamb, when he catches the ball, is obviously very, very potent. And most importantly, the defense was absolutely demolishing the Giants' offensive line. So I think
Michael Parsons. Did I mention the Dan Quinn thing?
Well, I don't know which part.
He needs a head coach. Somebody should hire him next year. Like, he went to a Super Bowl and almost beat the
Patriots. I would take Dan Quinn as the Steelers' offensive coordinator right now.
Oh, somebody asked if you would take Trubisky. Nagy and Trubisky as the offensive coordinator, co-offensive coordinators.
I meant Trubisky. He's the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. He calls the plays with Nagy.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, it can't be worse.
Say Canada. I thought a couple of things on some of the players. Noah Brown is a fun player. He made that leaping catch. I was like, oh man, what a catch by CeeDee Lamb. It was like, oh wait, that's Noah Brown. Yeah. Tony Pollard.
Good.
Needs more touches. My goodness.
And I thought Zeke Elliott looked, I know he didn't have like a monster game, but I thought he looked about as explosive as he'd looked in the last little bit. The Giants are very susceptible to the run because of their linebacking situation. We saw that with Pollard and Zeke. Jason Peters was a huge help. Early on, like in I think around the second quarter when Pollard popped that first big run, maybe 46 yards.
So they got the Giants got Kayvon back for the first time, and Azeez Ojulari, and I don't remember them sticking out at any point in the game. And I'm looking right now.
Kayvon had one play on a third down, maybe, and it was
one tackle for Kayvon and one assisted tackle for Ojulari, according to the official stats. So. Not impactful nights for those guys. That doesn't mean it won't be, but just in terms of what I thought could help be a difference maker. By the way, the total punts this game, 7. Again, last night, the Broncos punter punted 10 times. I mean, geez, that game is still haunting me.
Yeah. All right, so the Cowboys awesome? have the Commanders. Oh, I can't believe I actually called them the name. They have
put $5 in the jar, Brinson.
Yeah, I know. The rules. They have the Commanders at home. Pandos. Next week,
it's $10 now.
At the Rams
again, you start Cooper Rush there, and then you bring him back.
The Eagles.
That's when you bring him back.
But I mean,
the 3-2 worst case, I feel like.
But I think if you get through that Eagles game with Cooper Rush, you're Lions at home, Bears at home.
Here's the thing: you can.
I don't know where Dak is, but I don't. If I'm the Cowboys, I am trying, because if you beat the Commanders and split with the Rams and Eagles, give Dak time to get healthy so he doesn't come back and lay that clunker that he might lay.
Jane Slater had a Dak Prescott update.
I saw
and that. She said Jane saw Dak's thumb post stitch removal, because he had the stitches removed today. There's no swelling. It is healing. And he said that he could likely start in week 5 against the Rams. And she said she also got the sense that Dak could play against the Commanders in week 4. But that would have to be a team decision. And like we were saying, there's no reason to rush him back for that game. Like zero reason to rush him back for the Commanders game.
Yeah, we're still
no reason. Look, it's your week 9 bye. Get to the week 9 bye and then bring back Dak after that.
What?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. He had the surgery after the week 1 game. We still have 3 weeks to go until the Eagles game, or 2 weeks to go until the Eagles game. No, 3 weeks to go until the Eagles game. Yeah, why are you waiting an extra 3 weeks?
I can see keeping him out to the Eagles game, letting him sit out the Rams, because you know I'm the first game back getting crushed by Aaron Donald and injuring something else. So, but those are two games you need.
You're saying instead of him coming back October 16th, you want him to come back November 13th?
I want Dak to be as healthy as possible to make a playoff push if I'm the Cowboys. And you can win 3 of those games. You can go 3-2 from here on out.
What if he's at 90% for the Philly game?
He's not going to be at 90%. He had thumb on a joint on his finger.
Dr. Brinson all of a sudden knows what his thumb is like.
You were literally citing the Russell Wilson situation last week about why not to bring him back. Earlier tonight.
It was his middle finger, not his thumb. I told you that makes
sense. I think Brinson should break his finger like Dak did and try and recover. And then we'll have a first. We don't need doctors, because we will have firsthand testimony of how quickly you can recover.
Firsthand testimony.
If you bring back Dak too quickly.
No one disagrees, but if the original diagnosis was 4 to 6 weeks, and here we are.
That was Jerry Jones' diagnosis.
He's a billionaire. He knows.
That doesn't.
No, I think most medical people said 4 to 6 sounded about right. Am I right or am I wrong?
I feel like Jerry said that. Everyone was like, that's crazy and too quick.
Okay.
Well, I don't need to be crazy for that.
Oh, God. You're out here tweeting us nonsense in the middle of the podcast.
I think Cooper Rush can go 3-2.
So are you going to say if Dak comes back against the Eagles and wins those 3 games before the bye against the Eagles, Lions, and Bears, that's a results-based result?
No, I'll take that L on the chin.
All right, looking forward to that.
If Dak comes back against the Eagles and they go 1-2 against the Eagles, Lions, and Bears, I will be boisterous.
No, because so the Lions...
Let's predict when Dak comes back.
The Eagles.
I'll say Eagles, too.
I think Eagles, too.
What? After all that conversation, we're all on the same page?
I tell you when I think he should come back. I'm telling you when I think he will come back. Jerry Jones is out there saying, I mean, I'd love for Cooper Rush to create a controversy. That'd be great. It's like, okay, Jerry, you're not doing anybody any favor. He's paid Dak his money, and he's rushing Dak back. This doesn't work out well for anybody, I promise you.
It might. I don't know why all of a sudden you have some weird takes tonight. Sometimes usually you're on the other side of these conversations. I don't know what's going on with you.
I don't think the Cowboys should rush Dak back, and I don't think you can look at Daniel Jones' stat line and be like, that's one of the 5 best games he's ever played. I feel like there's
if you don't look at the stat line, but we are, me and Breach are football analysts. We watch the plays.
All right. Any other thoughts here?
No. I've had enough of it. I can't.
How many likes do you think we get in a video if somebody had to break my thumb on YouTube?
Oh, I thought you were going to say if you'd like.
No, it's like, so like I have to sit here and like live on YouTube. Like we do it live on the Pick6 podcast. Somebody breaks my thumb.
No, you have to take a hammer and do it yourself.
Oh, God. I couldn't. I don't know.
And if you miss, or you like you don't give it 100%, then Breach comes in camera left and does it himself with 2 hard swings.
Have you guys, I don't know if I can watch it. The Dahmer thing on Netflix.
I don't like, here's the thing. Like I'm a middle-aged woman that I love. I love true crime, but I like true crime documentaries. I don't like true crime docudramas. The one exception being Dr. Death on Peacock, which is really good.
Have you seen I think this is funny, but I'm like weird. I think weird things are funny. The episode descriptions for Dahmer. Like I watched the first, 2 minutes of the first one, I was like, I can't do this right now.
It's a lot of
the episode description is, after a nosy neighbor discovers a smell, Jeff throws her off off his scent and heads out to the bar where he encounters a stranger. It's like, wait, what? Hold on. I'm sorry. Did you, first of all, did you call him Jeff?
And, oh, is that what it says?
It's like, could be a Friends, like a description of a Friends episode. You're talking about like Jeffrey Dahmer, like sleds.
You know the backstory though, right?
About Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Who ate people?
I don't think he ate them. He ate people.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's where I draw. See, I'll watch almost anything, but when you start eating,
you draw the line with eating people.
That's where I draw the line. Do you have a line? That's what it is.
Yeah,
I don't want to know if you eat people. I don't want to hear that you chop them up and put them in a freezer and eat.
I thought you were saying you personally drew the line on eating people.
I mean, I do also draw the line at eating people. I will sample anything except for people.
Was Dexter a cannibal or no?
I only watched one episode of Dexter. I don't remember. I don't think so. I think he was a serial killer that killed other bad guys, right? That was the gist of the story. I don't think he was.
He really nailed that one. Did Billy say the second let's wrap up note? Yep. All right.
Thank you, Billy.
Anywho.
Oh, he's on the ball. Billy gets an A+ for his first solo show.
What do you give Brinson for his hot takes tonight, Breach?
A C.
Oh, that's very nice.
Breach, this is your wheelhouse. Any discussion on McCarthy's choice not to kick the field goal in the second half?
And Billy thought he was getting out of here on time.
No, that's a good question.
Where?
On the field.
On McCarthy's choice not to kick the field goal? I thought he did kick the field goal.
He went 4-1 fourth down that he got. Well, he
kicked the field goal on 4th and 1, so I'm not, like, I'm just asking.
Did they punt from...
What specific spot are we talking about?
Yeah, actually, Breach is maybe locked in here. Yeah,
so
it's a field goal question. Of course I know.
So 4th
that's
and
when
four.
They took the penalty. That's when they took the penalty. I guess they tried to draw them off sides. They're in punting formation. Didn't end up punting the ball. Took the penalty.
Oh, they got the first down.
They declined it. Then the Giants declined the penalty, and then they eventually had to punt the ball and ended up in the end zone.
Oh, I don't remember that. I do know. I did make a note that on 4th and 4.
That was around the 2-minute warning, and that was the
from midfield, and that was from like their own 25, right?
Yeah, I don't think the only
no, they're around weird midfield. Decision
was not weird, not even weird decision. The only thing this question would relate to, I think, is the 4th and 1 that the Cowboys had at the Giants 26, because it was 4th and 1. You're trying to milk down the clock. There were 6 minutes left. So do you try and get the first down and try and run off more clock? Or do you attempt a 44-yard field goal and try to go up 2 scores? That is probably it.
When you watch the Manning cast, and I like watching the Manning cast, I feel like you do lose a little bit of the.
That's why I can't watch it. Like, I can't.
Yeah. And it sucks now too, because it's like if you watch the Manning cast, which I love the Manning cast, but you're losing the. You're no
if
longer
this weren't
losing
my job. Three, I would only.
You're not losing. Like Tess and Boog, you're losing like Buck and Aitman, who were very good at it.
If this wasn't my job, I would watch the Manny cast. But I need to sort of figure out what's going on and when it's going on, and not just have a conversation with some buddies.
And the Tracy Morgan stuff was outrageous.
Yeah, I didn't watch it because I have a job to do. Just saying.
Same. All right, 23-16, Cowboys beat the Giants. They're both 2-1.
Next game, Thursday night.
Miami versus Cincinnati. Is that line creeped up to 4 yet?
Well, good news is Tua only has a back and an ankle, so he should be good to go.
It's fine, but he's got a back and an ankle. Breach, what's your score prediction? Because we won't 3.5.
See you until then, Lord willing.
4 Bengals, Dolphins.
Yeah.
Quickly.
34.
Quickly, we're getting out of here.
34-27 Bengals.
Sweet mercy. Hit the over. All right.
That's it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Breach. For Wilson. I'm Brinson. See you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.